In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Our Lady, Queen of Virgins, Saint Joseph, Holy Father, Saint Francis, Holy Mother, Saint Clare, our patron saints and guardian angels. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we celebrate in the Franciscan order the great Saint Holy Mother Clare, because she is truly the greatest disciple of our Holy Father Saint Francis. When we look at Saint Francis, we can see a certain sense an icon of Christ. So literally did he conform himself to Christ in him crucified, that he became a living crucifix. And we can say the same thing about Saint Clare. She was truly an icon of the Mother of God, for she reflected that fidelity to Christ and fidelity to Christ that she saw in the life of Saint Francis, her fidelity to the way of life that he handed on, that she, as a young woman, used to hear Saint Francis preach when he was a deacon. And she was captivated by his preaching, the gospel, but also about his manner of life. And coming from a noble family and a well-to-do family, she was struck by his example and words and wanted to live the same kind of life that he lived. She wanted to be poor, chaste, and obedient for Christ. And that was a difficult thing because her family would not at all be open to it. So that's why she snuck out with her maid in the middle of the night and met Saint Francis at the Our Lady of the Angels, the little Portiuncula chapel, and there he cut her hair and enrolled her into becoming the first poor lady of Christ, the first poor Clare. And then after receiving her into this new order, he sent her off to live with the Benedictines until he could establish a more permanent place for her, where she eventually ended up in the little church of San Damiano, where our Lord spoke to Saint Francis to rebuild his church. She established a monastery there, and there she lived most of her life as a contemplative nun. But Saint Clare truly did revolutionize in many ways her society and culture around her. How? Well, because in her day, young ladies of nobility were really looking to marry into some other wealthy family, or you know, their families saw their daughters as means of making alliances with other noble families or kings, and so they were considered more political assets than, you know, thinking about their daughters ever serving Christ. That would be something that maybe for them would have been, you know, a waste. And so in many ways, just like today, many people think, oh, what a young woman or a young man chooses to follow Christ as a religion, they think, oh, what a waste, you know. Well, it is a waste. It's a waste on God. Better to waste it on God than to waste it on the world or on something that is not worth wasting it on. But she influenced so many other young ladies of her day, young women of nobility, who wanted to join into this life of being a contemplative sister. And one of her first followers was her own sister, Agnes, who, when Agnes joined her sister, Clare, that was too much for the family, and the father and her brothers came looking for Agnes and Clare and wanted to take them back home. And they invaded the Benedictine cloister, and Agnes became so heavy, like a stone, or was St. Clare, I can't remember which one it was, became so heavy they couldn't move her, couldn't budge her. And one of the uncles went to raise a sword. He was so angry he was going to strike her that his arm was crippled for the rest of his life. He couldn't move it, couldn't use it. But they realized that they couldn't interfere with the plans of God, and so they left Clare and Agnes and to their vocation, and as we can see, it blossomed into the many Franciscan Pure Claire monasteries that we see around the world today. A very rich charism. There's different kinds of Pure Claires. There's the Collatine Pure Claires. There's the Pure Claires of Perpetual Adoration of Mother Angelica, the same order as hers. But they all are daughters of St. Clair. They live a cloistered, contemplative life. And the life of a Pure Claire nun, as St. Clair said, was to be a life of thanksgiving, to spend their lives thanking God for all his many blessings, thanking him especially for his gift of the Eucharist and his redemptive sacrifice. And we can see clearly that St. Clair lived this life of poverty and fidelity to the charism of St. Francis, that she became the Holy Mother of all, not just her own daughters, but even the friars. Even St. Francis pointed out to the friars that they should be faithful to the charism like St. Clair. Even sometimes when the friars were already, while St. Francis was alive, were trying to mitigate the charism and to try and modify it, St. Francis never had this difficulty with St. Clair and her sisters. She was always a faithful follower of St. Francis and Christ. But what can St. Clair say to us today? Well, we can look to her and we can say that St. Clair's joining the contemplative cloister life, being the kind of person she was in society, she was looked upon with admiration by her peers because she was a young woman, a beautiful woman, who had much, you might say, promise in the world of her day to make it big, you might say, and she gave it all up for Christ. It would probably be like some young woman, some starlet, you might say, in Hollywood, who's well known and leaving it all for the sake of Christ. And we'd hope that some would do that today, that they would be given that grace to abandon that life of false fool's gold, you might say, and truly embrace the life of following Christ as a religious and as a contemplative nun. And that would truly probably make the same kind of splash, you might say, in our society today as it did in the time of St. Clair. That we need to abandon this rather illusionary lifestyle that so many people have adopted, the life of materialism, hedonism. You know, our society shows it, especially in the media, only shows one side of the story, and they kind of try to glamorize the life of hedonism and materialism, but it never shows you the casualties of that kind of lifestyle. They never dwell on all those lives who have become shipwrecked because they have adopted that kind of lifestyle. Oh, they may pass over it. They'll just show you the news of somebody who's overdosed on drugs or, you know, ended up getting killed in a fast car because they raced it too fast and were under the influence. But they don't touch upon it. They don't make the connection that that's the result of this kind of lifestyle. And obviously they truly ignore anything of someone wanting to follow Christ. That would be considered, you know, foolishness to them. But truly we need others to embrace the life of Christ. We need St. Clair to intercede for us in a special way in our day, that as she had an influence on the young women of her day, so her charism, her way of life will even from heaven influence still more young women who will give their lives to Christ in the cloister, to be with him, to be his brides in a special way, living the life of poverty, chastity, and obedience. St. Clair is the patron saint of television. Many people don't understand why a Pure Claire nun would be the patron saint of television, but it's because St. Clair, for most of her religious life, many people think, you know, St. Clair must have been going all over and establishing all these monasteries. Well, for 48 years of her religious life, she was bedridden. She couldn't get out of bed except for short times because she was very sickly. And that was probably most of her religious life. She was bedridden. And one time on a Christmas Eve, when they were going to have the Christmas Eve Mass, the friars were going to offer it in her convent chapel. She couldn't attend because she was too sick. And so when all the sisters left her to go to the Mass, while they were attending Mass, God gave her a high-definition TV, and the wall of her room opened up, and she could look right into the chapel and witness the midnight Mass that the friars were offering. And when the sisters came back to tell her about how beautiful the Mass was, she says, "Oh, don't worry, you don't need to tell me. I saw it all." And so that is why St. Clare is the patron saint of television. And it's interesting that of all those who made attempts in the church to establish a Catholic television network, that it was a poor Clare nun that was able to carry it out from a cloister, of all places. God works in mysterious ways. And we can also look to St. Clare to intercede for us all, that in a special way we may see the importance of following Christ, and no matter what state in life we have, that we must truly embrace Christ. We must give everything we have for love of Him. Even if we don't have to give it up because we didn't take the vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience, we should certainly have that abandonment to Christ that St. Clare had in her heart and mind as first and foremost. She wanted to do everything she could for Christ. She was truly captivated by Christ. She fell in love with Christ and the gospel. And we must pray that we too will also fall in love with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not just that we believe it and know it, but we must also love it. And that will truly be the thing that will inflame us to be bright lights like St. Clare. For her name, Chiara, means light, means clarity. And that's the kind of clarity we need in our world of darkness today. Someone who loves the gospel, loves Christ to the point of giving everything they have. Finally, St. Clare, we know her great love for the Eucharist. She's pictured in her statues holding a monstrance in her hand. It's because of that great love for Christ, especially in the Blessed Sacrament, and in the story of her life when the infidels who were under the pay of King Frederick II were attacking the walls of Assisi. She, being poor and not having any means of defense, asked our Lord, pleaded with him in the Blessed Sacrament to come to the defense of her and her sisters, and our Lord spoke to her from the Blessed Sacrament, "I will defend you, and I will always watch over you." And that's when she was inspired. It's either she herself went to the tabernacle as being the prioress, or the abbess of a poor Clare monastery. She had the permission to expose the Blessed Sacrament for her sisters. Or she asked the chaplain of the monastery to go and take the Blessed Sacrament to the walls of the convent. And it is said that when the heathens that were under the pay of Frederick II, these mercenary soldiers came over the walls to attack the city of Assisi and also the convent, they were so terrified by the vision that came from the Blessed Sacrament that they fled in fear and did not proceed any further. So great was St. Clare's faith and trust in the Blessed Sacrament. So we should ask in a special way, too, that the Blessed Sacrament be loved and adored once more in our world and in especially among Catholics. And ask St. Clare in a special way to intercede in these days as The Bishop of Tulsa has asked us to pray in a special way for this Black Mass not to take place in Oklahoma City. Let us ask St. Clair to really intercede from heaven that the Most Blessed Sacrament will not be abused in this manner, and that truly the host will not be desecrated by this diabolical practice. Let us also today ask St. Clair to assist every one of us to love our Lord even more so in the Most Holy Eucharist. As we receive him every day, it is our opportunity to also renew our love and fidelity to Christ in the Most Blessed Sacrament. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.